go ahead and sign out. And I appreciate you listening. This is KBOO 90.7. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postwaite. Up next is Keeping It Real with Nick DZ. Oh, and Arone. Hey, okay. So we will see or talk to you next month. And you guys stay cool, do what you can, and love yourselves. Bye. Couldn't judge me if you wanted, lead the judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the ignorant to listen. God gave me your word, now it's time to do my mission. I don't get it, is my pigment such a bad thing? Are we in our last days or a bad dream? This world is contribution so confusing and it's complex. We living just to die, so I'm wondering, am I next? Yeah. Sing it to him, baby.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, your favorite community radio station. And next is Keeping It Real. It is 7 p.m. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and so a treat. Keeping It Real is next, and it's Nick DZ and Arone tonight with some guests. So be prepared. Again, this is KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Business of Diversity on August 7th at 11 a.m. at the Sentinel Hotel in Portland. The Business of Diversity will be a conversation about the impact of diversity on the economy and business in Oregon. This panel discussion features business owners, educators, and community leaders. Again, that's the Business of Diversity on August 7th at 11 a.m. at the Sentinel Hotel, 614 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Books and Records! Books and Records! Come on down to KBOO's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th, noon to 6 p.m. at Cider Riot. There will be fabulous books, DVDs, CDs, and vinyl at ridiculously low prices. It's a fun community event that benefits your favorite community radio station, KBOO. Again, that's KBOO's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th from noon to 6 at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, kills the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off at a Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun. Greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the back, all alone.
I'm talking. What's going on, Portland? We are back. Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real. This is one of your hosts, Aron.
And Nick Deasy, man, we back.
We got a couple of special guests here today, and then we got a regular also, Mr. Tevin. What's going on?
Man, what's good?
How you doing?
Back on the show. Been hosting Combined Culture Radio, but it's always good to be back on Keeping It Real.
This is home, huh?
This is home. This is home. This is where it all started.
Yeah, and we got my guy Jacob. What's up, Jacob?
What's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
So today we're going to hear your story. We're going to hear your perspective, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And then we got Marissa. She's back here acting shy, but she's going to go ahead and she's going to pitch in some of her perspective as well in a little bit. Ain't that right, Marissa?
Yeah.
So, you know, Nick, I'm going to let you go ahead and get started.
I'm just going to get into it, bro. Like, I know what you was talking about on Snapchat. You just want to talk about that on here. Just pretty much tell people what you're posting about.
Well, mainly, I just been through a lot of struggle in life, you know, bouncing from apartment to apartment, finally settled in a home after my dad got off a parole.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my dad until I was one because he was locked up and mm-hmm. got out and went into the halfway house.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got back and we settled into an apartment, we was subject to police raids 3 times a week until I was 8. So they would barge in to my house and line us all up against the wall ever since I was like a little kid.
And this is like you're a child.
Yeah, right now, they didn't hold back either. They were screaming in my face to get up out of bed.
Wow.
Yeah, they were not very kind.
Okay. So walk me through that experience. What are some of the things that kind of stick out to you right now from those memories?
I mean, for me, it's always been hard to trust people mm-hmm. since then because, like, you know, I looked up to cops. My family was cops. You know, we're Latinos. So like a lot of us were either in prison or we're the ones putting people in prison.
That's right.
Have a half-half, and it's like,
you
it was hard to see because I had my uncles that were like high up good cops, like they were strong in morals, and then after the raids it was kind of like, what is this? Like, who are you guys? Aren't you supposed to protect me? Like, why are you yelling in my face to get me out of bed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a little kid,
right?
Like,
where was this at? Like, are you from Portland?
Yeah, I lived in Portland my whole life. Okay. This was in North, back when Portsmouth was still Portsmouth.
Yeah, before the time. Yeah.
I lived in the duplex right next to it.
Okay.
And yeah, they. It was just.
That's a lot of bad memories, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about yourself now. Like, what do you do now? And how do you navigate, you know, do you still live in North Portland?
Yeah, I live in the Ville right now.
Okay, in the Ville, that's where I work.
Yeah.
So tell me how you navigate, you know, how old are you?
18.
18. So as an 18-year-old, right, you're still, I consider you a youth because I'm 28. Yeah, I'm that old. But, you know, like, tell me a little bit about how you navigate, you know what I'm saying, your neighborhood and just, you know, your day-to-day survival. What does that look like?
I mean, I kind of keep to myself. Only do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I go to work, back home, go to the gym, go back. That's it. I don't really.
You stay out the
scene. I don't do any extra. I used to do extra when I was a kid. I used to go out, have fun, do things with people. But I learned my lesson a few times that doing the extra just isn't worth it.
It wasn't. So, what are some of what are some of your experiences that kind of taught you a lesson, you know, or like what are you doing now to kind of show other people the way?
I mean, in terms of just teaching me a lesson, I mean, I learned not to take life for granted very soon.
Mm-hmm.
My both my uncles were murdered before I was 3. on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. One was run off by the police on an overpass in his hometown. Mm-hmm. And the other one was murdered in an alleyway in Southern California. Mm. And it didn't register at first. And then I experienced death myself when I was 5. I was born with 3 chambers in my heart, mm-hmm. instead of 4. And they didn't really expect me to make it through the surgery that I had to do. They had to reconnect the cartilage with metal. Mm-hmm. And those kind of experiences like taught me like not to take life for granted.
Right. And then that's big, right? There's always a lesson in that. Mm-hmm. You know, they say the wise learn from other people's experience. And you know, and you've seen a lot, man. By the time you hit 5, you've seen a lot more than an average adult would see in their lifetime, you know? And that's the type of things that, you know, you would hope that, you know, people who hold high positions and people who are running our city would consider when it comes to training our police force, for example, when it comes to mental health and trauma, our schools, right? What are they doing in order to serve a kid like you, somebody who's been through a lot already, and you come over there and sometimes they might not know that these are your experiences by just looking at you, right? Because looking at you right now, I see somebody who's well put together, somebody who's, you know what I'm saying, clean cut, and, you know, who got their life together. But, you know what I'm saying, when you tell me your history, you've been through a lot, right? So I guess my next question to you is, and, you know, I'm going to be coming back to you throughout the show, right? Mm-hmm. But my next question to you is, what's next? What do you, you know, what do you see your future being? You know your history, right? You know your past. But you don't let that define you, right?
Yeah, no. I'm trying not to let it define anything, really.
Right.
Because everybody's different. All experiences are different. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks different. You know, nothing's going to be the same in 5 years that it was today. Right. So what I'm trying to do is I'm going to go to college, mm-hmm. get my education. I'm going to be going into business, sports sciences, and engineering.
Okay.
So I'm going to be in school for a long time. Yeah. And then I'm planning on coming back to Portland and kind of navigating through my life, make sure that I'm well off financially. And when it comes to the end, I'm actually trying, big ambitious goal, to really make a community center here in Portland and make it what it's like supposed to be, not what it like what it is now. Everybody's like, oh yeah, we do this and this, but they don't really ever do that.
Uh-huh.
Ever. It's right. Like they try for like a week and then
just to look good for the
disappears
funding and all of
that. Uh-huh. But I'm trying to make it, you know, like a second home, bring something that I needed when I was a kid and mm-hmm. what a lot of people needed when they was kids and what maybe what even adults need today.
Okay. And have you had somebody where, like, you know, a mentor figure, a coach, somebody that was just there for you, that kind of helped you navigate, that kind of, you know, when you look back at your life, you're like, ah, man, I'm glad I had that person in my corner?
Yeah, it started when I was in middle school. I had this one teacher. He passed now, so.
Okay,
but he was like a friend, you know. He wasn't just a teacher, and he established that very early on. By the time I was in 7th grade, I was in his math class, mm-hmm. and he knew what I was doing as a middle school. He knew where I was coming from. He knew like what I was getting myself into, and he sat me down and said, like, under the table, and was like, you know, you can keep doing what you're doing, or you're gonna end up in prison. You're gonna end up doing. You're gonna be another statistic, basically, mm-hmm. is what he told me, and that was the start. And then when I got into high school, my football coach, Christian Swain at Roosevelt, mm-hmm. and
great guy.
The wrestling coach, Donnie McPherson, mm-hmm. Really took me off the streets and really forced me into becoming more like professional and
that
more
discipline.
More of a man.
Mm. Mm, that's huge. How'd you meet Nick Deasy?
Well, like, before he says that, like, man, it's crazy because, like, we grew up together, like, since we was, like, didn't know how to write or nothing. And it's crazy that all this, like, I'm hearing this from him because, like, I never knew that when we was coming up. I never knew that. And it's crazy because, like, even if you're growing up with someone or you know them pretty well, you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. You don't know what struggles they've been through. So that's crazy to hear all this. And we was talking in the car right on the way here. And I don't know, bro. I'm kind of, like, blown about that. It's crazy to have all that come out and really hear his story.
Right, and then just seeing where you two are right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, y'all doing great things. Y'all staying out the scene. You're handling your business, right? And that's what, at the end of the day, ultimately, that's what I like to see is, you know, you inspiring others and you pushing forward with your own personal plan too, right?
Yeah, bro. And it's, I had heard him talk a little bit on Snapchat and said he wants to get his story out there. And I was like, I got to do it. Like, we got to make this happen. And we really talked about it, what, like Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Monday. And I was like, Monday, I was like, all right, let's do this. And then Monday, I was like, I don't know if we can do this because my car, it was overheating. Mm-hmm. So I had to take my car to the shop. Shout out to the mechanic, man. He got my car right in like, not even a whole day.
You were stressing about that car too. Y'all got to understand Nick Dizzy's car is his life.
Man, that's my baby,
that
bro.
That man was stressing about that whip.
I was like, oh, man, like, it's done for. It's done. It was a little fixed, bro. It was the easiest thing. But I'm going to expect the worst because I'm going to expect the worst because if it's the worst, I'm going to be ready. And if it's not, I'm like, oh, well, cool. Yeah. But I finally got some stuff done to it that I wanted done to it too right as it broke down. I was like, oh, man, like, I just got all this done to it, and I can't even go stun or ball out with it. Like,
what'd you get done to it?
I got my muffler taken off and some pipes put on there, so it's not like a little ricer or nothing, but
it's a little loud. You know, it sound like one of the muscle cars. You know,
man,
you're trying to flex.
I'm going to show you when we leave, bro. Yeah, like, I'm not even used to it. Like, I was gassing on it. I was like, oh, man, like, I feel it. I feel it rumbling. I'm like, I wasn't used to it. I wasn't ready for all that. But it's what I wanted, bro. I mean,
so what you gonna do with it in the future? You gonna, you know, sell it or what? Or are you gonna keep that, ride that thing out?
So, like, I know a lot of people have, like, their project cars, and it's usually a classic car, but I wanted to get it louder, get some rims, get the speakers hooked up, and now I'm supposed to be getting these 20s all chrome,
so that's your project car.
Yeah, that's gonna be my project car, but it's not like one of them classics. It's what I like, you know. And
so you gonna keep it white, or you gonna paint it?
I'm thinking I'm gonna get it painted all white, like a new white paint job, because some of it's like off white because it was a rebuilt title and it crashed. And so I'm gonna get it all white painted again. But before that, I'm supposed to be getting these 20 inch rims with some low profiles. I'm gonna get a plastic dipped white, bro. Bro, y'all don't understand. Y'all gonna know. I talked to Aron about this like every week,
every day.
Like, Aron was talking about, I'm gonna get some nice tires, and I'm gonna get my wheels plastic dipped black, and he finally did it. And I didn't know whose car it was. It's clean, but I plan on getting these 20s soon. And
okay, Jacob, you got a car too, right?
Yeah, I got a little 2008 Jeep Patriot.
Oh, okay, I see you.
Oh, y'all got pretty much the same car.
You're a legend. See, I knew you was a legend the moment you walked in here, man. How you like it?
It drives nice,
right?
But mine's a little heavy. Uh-huh. So it's got a lot of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I worry about, that thing. But I might strip it down a little bit so that way it can carry itself a little easier. Other than that, I have no issues with it.
Man, I'm gonna have to see your car, man.
He stays by right by where Jazz lives, right on that corner.
Don't tell everybody in the world where it is.
they don't know who Jazz I'm talking about. They don't know where I'm talking about. That's why they say, well, he lives right here, you know.
People's information away.
Where'd you say you're about to go to school?
I'm gonna start at PCC.
Okay.
Covering the Cascade campus.
Nice.
That's good. You're going to do your 2 years there and then transfer?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, man. It's a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Man,
it's good on your pockets. Go to college, y'all.
I'm not with the student loans. I'm not going to be in debt to nobody.
Hey, that's why you get your own business and finance your own education.
Yeah,
that's right. Educate, and then nothing hurts though, man. Get your education.
That's
right?
True.
Tevin, tell me a little bit about your first car, man. I know these guys are.
My first car, man. So my first car was a 1997 Corolla, and my it was 10, and my grandma used to pick me up from it. It's 1997, so I was 3 years old. I used to get picked up in that car from kindergarten, from preschool, right? So time goes by, and I graduated college, or I graduated high school, and I was going to a junior college, just like what you're doing. And my grandma had always said, like, you know, when you get your license, then when you get your license, you'll get your, you can have the car, because she was, you know, she was too old, she couldn't drive anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, man, my grandma had that in the car for so long, and literally, like, or not in the car, she had it in the garage for so long, in her garage. And I'll never forget, man, the day I think I graduated college, and it was that summer. Mm-hmm. It was that summer before my freshman year, and I had a job at Safeway. And I'll never forget just taking it out. I was like, dang, this is my car. And the first thing I did with it was I got a car wash, man. Dude, I had so many moments in that car. It was unbelievable, because literally, like, I had moments in my car where, because that was the year for me that I was like really grinding, trying to get up to Oregon, to transfer, and I was going to school. And literally, I had moments in that car where I slept in it, moments in that car where literally it was nice driving back home from grinding in that car. Like, it really.
It's amazing what a car could do, huh?
Yeah, for I have so many memories, it's a connection. Man. It is, man, because that was like my grind car. Like, it was a little 97 Corolla. It had no slap, no bass in it. Bro. I was turning it up as high as it can, but it just sucked, man.
Bro, yeah, I feel
but
it.
But I love it though.
It's like, it's yours, bro. Like, I remember even just the other day I was driving down the street. I'm like, this is mine. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm really thinking this is mine, and as I'm thinking this is mine, like, I wasn't thinking about driving. I'm like, oh, that's not going to be mine for long if I swerved. And I was like, man, like, it's crazy thinking that you just want a car forever, and then once you get it, you're like,
nah, because
you can't go back.
Exactly, and essentially, it's like, you get, like, it's almost like it forms to you, you know what I mean? Like, I remember for the longest, like, so I came out to Oregon, right? And from my sophomore year to my senior year, I was driving just different cars, bro. I was driving different people's cars. I was driving, you know, just homies' cars, like zip cars, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I never drove my own car. So now, like, when it's like, I know the turns, I know I could gas a certain way, like, right. I can put on the brakes, I can make a certain turn. Like, it's just formed to me.
Yeah.
It's formed to me, you know
what
I mean?
That's how I feel about my Patriot, man. See? Marissa, why don't you tell me about your first car?
I had, what was it? It was a Ford Escape. It was a 2002. I rode that thing till the wheels fell off. I remember it was the day of my graduation, senior year. Uh-huh. I woke up, I was getting ready to go to school, and I went outside, and there it was sitting in the driveway.
Was it a gift?
It was a gift. My dad had put a bow on it. Everything. Oh. He grinded for that car. He worked overtime for damn near a year.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like the best thing ever. I had my name on it. I know I rode to school with the bow on and everything. I drove it. It went through my freshman year of college, went through my sophomore year of college, and then it just gave up on me. It broke down probably every other month. Uh-huh. I had to put a good $200-$300 in it just for the littlest things. And it wasn't even worth it, but it was the fact that my dad, that was my graduation present. He worked so hard for it. And then I finally realized that I had to take out a loan to get my own little car. And now I got a 2014 Hyundai Sonata.
It's a nice car, y'all.
That's my baby.
Yeah, she be pulling up with it. But yeah, that's that. I remember my first car was a Subaru Impreza. It was my sister's before it was mine. I crashed it. Well, I got
of course.
Hit. I got hit. Like, it wasn't my fault. I got hit while I was driving it. Rest in peace, Subaru. It was a great car. It got me through snow, ice, all types of weather. And then, you know, I went to college and actually, you know, got my own car after that. But yeah, anyways, I think it's time for some music. We're going to listen to a song by Kevin Gates. The song is called "You Better Know." Guess who?
Loves Kevin
guess
Gates.
Who picked it?
Nick.
Nick.
You should have known when it comes to the dough, I'ma get 'em. You should know better. Do it all for my dogs every day, going hard, I'ma win 'em. You should know better. Used to dream about them now, now we getting it for real. Should have left you right there where I met you. Hitting it, ain't gotta win, we not kicking it. Bread on the team, we sick and we live with it. Whipping machines equipped with a fridge in it. We the connect, we not about to mention it. We with the shit, no talk when we finish it. Some say I'm ignorant, man, cause we touching September, I'm making my pilgrimage. Maybe I'm different, looked at you like you were special, you not even built for this. Moving foes in the crush, gangster when it's up, it's going nuts, big shit. Tully on clutch, pockets on lump, free my lump, going out dumb. Engine on run, thugging in the slum, thumbing through the hun. Separate the ones.
Somebody call a ride.
My daughter get the fives, break bread, slide, lay up in the high. Room too expensive, motel seats, quit tripping. Resent feelings, wait, don't wait. Forklift, lift the price, it gon' fix the traps up.
You should've known when it comes to the dough, I'ma get 'em. You should know better. Do it all for my dogs every day, going hard. You should know better. Used to dream about a meal, now we getting it for real. Should've left you right there where I met you. You should've known when it comes to the door, I'ma get 'em. I'm a brand new.
Fat, what you talking about? Might just do you gates. There it is.
Dive pen, front pocket stuff. Money look like we been doing lunges. Razor pitch the blunt, I'm doing crunches. Tattooed all over my stomach. London, talking up in London, stand up in their chest, okay, I love you. Who's hating, wait, I'm doing numbers, in their feelings, tell them I said, hold up, wait, tell them that I love them. We could go, we had a discussion. Faint in the blind of people on the side of you, like you never mean nothing. Focus on brand new things, trying to show my children how to hustle, teach them how to trust one another. All we got is us and your mother. Fall down, get back up again, lose it all right before you win. Kevin, man, you messing up your gift. Like this be hard to come again. From a bad, I know I admit. Real struggle, I don't ever quit. Thinking back when I ain't have a cent, back when I ain't have a shit to give.
You should've known when it comes to the dough, I'ma get 'em. You should know better. Do it all for my dogs. Every day going hard, I'm a winner. You should know better. Used to dream about a meal, now we getting it for real. Should've left you right there where I met you. You should've known when it comes to the dough, I'ma get 'em. I'm a breadwinner.
So that was No Better by Kevin Gates. Once again, Nick Dizzy picked that song. Anything Kevin Gates, understand it's from Nick Dizzy. I'm putting you on blast. Yes, I did.
I don't care, man. That's what I listen to.
Man, against it. Good music. So, Tevin.
Yeah, it was good.
Welcome back. I know there's been new developments since last time we spoke.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and update us?
So basically, me and two other dudes that are my homies, we started our radio station called Combined Culture Radio. We're on next Wednesday at 7, actually, as well. And it's been a cool experience. The first episode, which is live, as well as the second episode on Combined Culture Radio on KBOO. You guys can check it out. But episode one, we really just dived into the concept of black businesses. Mm. The two dudes I was with, they disagreed with me that to support Big Baller Brand. And then we got into talking about, do African-Americans know our worth? Because some of us don't know where we came from. And then we talked about like current events, like Usher, Kevin Hart. But how we usually, like how we started is really just... basically, we start off with current events and then we dive into several talks, several topics. Like
the second episode, we had my girl Michaela and, on the show, and she talked about basically like we talked about coconut oil with one of my friends who's a artist, and he did a song called Coconut Oil Shawty, and we're doing this video, and we talked about basically how I think it was like the day Donald Trump had basically elected, like, hey, like, we're no longer having transgender individuals in the army. We talked about that, and then we also had one of my friends who works at Nike. He just moved up here from California to work at Nike, and we talked about traveling, and then we just talked about like our favorite summers. So I think on the next episode we'll have like a handful of guests on, and I think the next episode we're gonna talk about, which my girlfriend recommended today, just because we've all struggled, and this is millennials in the workforce today.
These are some interesting topics. When is the next show?
The next show is at 7 o'clock p.m. next Wednesday. It's really gonna be dope. We have two guest mixes by my homie Tien and Mitch the Kid, and both of them are gonna contribute some mixes for the show. I think one of the key things that I learned, especially doing radio, is like right now when we're talking, I think one thing that I learned like after episode one was having instrumentals play in the background. It just makes the conversation just go a little bit smoother. And then like really just playing around, like maybe not having one song, but like giving it to a DJ and having them mix it. So like, for instance, like we gave Tien like a bunch of songs like to mix, like 6 songs. So I think the next episode, focusing one on the current events, focusing two on the millennials, and then three, I want it to be like very, very, have those mixes like real good.
Okay, and remind our listeners, what is it called one more time?
Combined Culture Radio.
Combined Culture Radio.
COMBINEDCULTURE
Yep, Combined Culture.
Oh, snap. I didn't want to misspell that, but all right.
It's all good. I always misspell stuff. Nick could tell you all about it.
He barely knows how to spell.
CULTURE There you go. Culture.
So what would you say, you know, and not based on like the radio show itself, because you just told me about that takeaway, but those topics, right? I'm sure you guys had some deep conversations.
Right.
What was some of the takeaways you got from those conversations, like the, you know, like the messages you got?
I think some of the takeaways that I got from especially the conversations that we had was, the first one was just to know your worth, know where you come from, and to build your own brand. We talked about kind of like what LeVar Ball is doing for his family, and I think it kind of taught me that Nike, Adidas, like these brands, people fail to realize that these were crazy individuals that started these brands. You know, so they look at LeVar Ball like he's crazy, but I think like society has brainwashed us to be so one-track minded, and that's like, for instance, like the two dudes on my show literally said like, oh, like the name's weak, and you know, are they supporting like black communities, like, but it, see, the thing is, like, I'm not trying to say, actually, you know what, I am trying to say this, like, it's a black business, why not support a black business? But they basically said, well, he's a black business, but is he giving to the black community?
Right, and I think, so I was watching SportsCenter, and they brought up that LeVar Ball's the whole business idea, the shoe that he came out with for his son, and how much it cost, and all of that. And they did the segment on it, and they interviewed him, and he said, you know, this is my son. I believe in him. This is my family's brand. And, you know, I'm just invested in them. I think that they're worth $300 whatever.
Exactly.
And people took that, and, you know, and I think media has a way of making people seem, because you have Gucci and all of these crazy brands selling belts for $500-$600
and that's the thing that gets me, that had me kind of mad was, it didn't have me mad, I mean, it's just people's opinion, like it's two of my co-hosts, so I'm like, I'm not tripping, but it was just, I think one of the guys has said like,
you know, like, I'd rather go buy some Gucci flip-flops than over that. And I'm like, yo, like, you got to realize. And then one of my other homies said, like, okay, like, you know, I'd rather go to a such and such bank if they keep messing up, blah, 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 blah. But it was basically like, yo, like, I support my kind. Like, when we give to Nike and Adidas, like, yo, we're feeding Phil Knight's family. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know where that money's going. Or when we give to Adidas, we're feeding Audie Dossler's family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, or Kevin Plank with Under Armour. Mm-hmm. It's like, so what's the difference? Because just because, like, okay, I understand, like, it's not funneling. But then again, like, what black business is, like, funneling into the community? There might be some, but it's like, I'd rather support LeVar Ball, you know what I mean, in a family-owned black business, mm-hmm. that's upcoming and emerging, then, like, I'm still cool with, like, Nike and Adidas and stuff, but why not support LeVar Ball? Like, but to strictly say, like, no, I'm not supporting, I'm not copying it, it's just, like, nah, like, sometimes, like, say Nick or you came out with a t-shirt, like, you guys are the homie, so, like, I don't know where the money's going, but I just want to support you. And that's the thing, is, like, with LeVar Ball and the Big Baller Brand, I just want to support them because I support what they're doing.
I mean, look at Portland, for example, and I mean, just in general, it doesn't even just have to be black, but if you look at every other ethnic group and you see their stores and their shops, there is nothing wrong with supporting your own, right? Because there's a culture, there's an understanding between you, and you could support your own and others as well, right?
Right.
You know, just if I decide to go to an Eritrean restaurant because I'm Eritrean, it doesn't mean that I hate every other restaurant out there. It just means that, hey, this is familiar. This is mm-hmm. what I grew up on. This is the food. This is the culture. This is the music that I know, right? Yep. These are the products that I know. This is what we use in our household. They understand me. They understand what I need. Right. And they make that for me, right? There's nothing wrong with the other businesses. There's nothing wrong with the other brands. It's just, this is what I connect to the most, mm-hmm. right? But it's sad to me when people are, you know, bashing a brand or whatever, unless I understand there are some brands that are, you know, that support hateful platforms.
Right.
And those I would stay away from. Right. There are some brands out there that support prison labor, you know, animal testing, exploiting third world countries and labor and sweatshops and child labor, and I understand those brands, and you know,
right.
I would never like to support those brands.
Right.
But if it's just an honest somebody like LeVar Ball, he's a great father. He's raising great his father. Kids. He's supporting his wife. Mm. You know, despite, you know, he does talk a lot of trash.
Yeah, bro,
but you know, like, understand that he's been there for his family. But he's invested, like, in his children.
I feel like the media,
they
kind of shut his character down. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I understand that he's loud and, like, he vocalizes himself, but it's like, the way that I see it, like, how I've talked to y'all about, like, how we making these t-shirts and we making this happen, it's like, everything starts with somebody dreaming. If you really think about it, he got loud and he did all that. Maybe he didn't mean to, but that put him on.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And just like it's rappers out here that will go to jail and that'll put him on. Like, he may have did it in a way, like, you might not like how he got loud, but he got your attention.
Exactly.
And now they're probably selling hundreds of them sneakers, like, a week. And they're making their money, bro, and it's crazy because they don't understand that. Maybe he meant to do that. Maybe he got loud.
And that's the thing, like, literally, like, there's two things that I'm literally currently mad at, mm-hmm. like, really, really mad at. The first is how the media has chastised LeVar Ball.
Right.
Right? And the second one is I keep on seeing it on SportsCenter, on ESPN.com, like, on Complex. Today, Colin Kaepernick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, literally, the coach for the Baltimore Ravens mm-hmm. and the general manager said it's okay. They want to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
But the owner said no. And I'm like, yo, it makes me so mad just to see, like, the African-American man, like, literally, like, the people that stand up for their rights, like, get chastised down.
Right.
Like, LeVar Ball can't, he's a black father who's he's proud of his sons, and he puts a price on what he's selling. But the media is like,
you're an idiot, you're wrong. Colin Kaepernick.
He stood up for black rights.
Stood up for black rights. You're disrespectful. You're this, you're that. You'll never be anything. And I'm like, this is, it's like, in America today, we're taught basically to fear.
But you got people in the NFL who are busted with all types of weapons, drugs, beat their women, and they let them back. But then you have somebody who just wanted to voice his political opinion, and because you didn't agree with it, you're not going to sign him back. He's talented. Crazy. He's a great quarterback, a good leader.
Crazy.
Right? And he's somebody who gives back to the community.
Oh, you just got back from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And that's what kills me. But while we're on that topic, so last week I was in St. Louis. Right? And, you know, I went and I visited so many impoverished neighborhoods. And it was crazy, man, because you'd see mansions on one end of the street, and then on the other end, there'd be abandoned, tore down houses. And come to find out, it was legislation that was passed that would invest in those rich neighborhoods and take away money from poor neighborhoods. And then systematically, they would take kids out of schools, right? And mind you, each kid that went to a public school in St. Louis received, not them specifically, but the school would receive $19,000, right? And that $19,000 could go to paraeducators, it could go to teachers, to, right, Marissa? And it will go to teachers, tutors, mentors, mm-hmm. books, supplies, things like that, mm-hmm. right? They shipped 30,000 kids out of those public schools and sent them to the suburbs. So can you imagine how much money was taken out of those public schools? And then you wonder why our children were failing, right?
And see that? And that's another thing that brings me back to... You always question, like, we know how our education system is in America, but around, like, maybe you might know this, but how is it internationally,
and
the education system internationally? Like, I heard, like, in the UK, for instance, like, it's way better.
Yeah. I mean, and even if, take away the funding, take away all that. I grew up in a third world country, Yemen.
Right. Right?
Our classrooms, think about it this way. You walk into a classroom, all concrete. Right, windows, no glass, no nothing, just steel bars.
Right,
cold floor, some tables, some chairs. First come, first serve. Right, a blackboard, eraser, chalk.
Right,
that's it. When I tell you, by middle school, kids knew algebra 1, algebra 2, history, could write you, I don't know how many page essays.
Right,
knew the entire, like, new countries, their capitals, what continents, oceans. The education was enriched. It was deep. It was thoughtful.
Right. Right?
There was knowledge.
Well, because education, what is that Malcolm X quote? I think he said education is the, I'm going to look it up, but it's like some education is powerful.
It is.
It's power. I got to look up that quote, if you could look that up.
Yeah,
but education is like the tool to success, or, it's such a deep quote. And I think just because if you look at education to a human is like the pyramids, you know what I mean? Like you need a solid foundation, like a rock,
right,
to sit on.
And that's the thing, man, like a society that's educated is able to question the politicians, the mm-hmm. leaders, and is able to hold them accountable. Accountability is something that I don't see in our political system currently. And that's, you know, unfortunately, that's what I see the case, right? But back to St. Louis, this is crazy. This mm-hmm. today. So, you know, I was with a couple of students earlier today working on an art project.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to read that quote?
Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Meaningful, right? So the NAACP... Right, in Missouri, which is where St. Louis is, issues its first statewide travel advisory, right? There was a law, and the law is Senate Bill 43, which makes it more difficult for employees to prove their protected class, like race, gender, directly led to unlawful discrimination. Passed through the Missouri legislature, Governor Eric Gritton signed it into law soon. So the NAACP issued a travel advisory, telling people to travel at their own, basically to travel with caution now, because discrimination is legal in Missouri. This is today. What year are we in? What year is this? Just remind me real quick. 2017. And people have to be careful when they travel because of their race, their ethnicity, or whatever, right? Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, you've seen like that pop up at states all around the country, like Arizona. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't go to Arizona at all. Reason being is because if I'm driving, a police officer can legally pull over a Latino and ask for his papers. Mm-hmm. And even if he's a citizen, and you don't have your birth certificate, you don't have your ID, you don't have everything on hand to show, yeah, I'm a citizen, you're gonna get in line to get deported. You're not gonna have any like rights. You're not treated like a citizen, even if you are.
Right. And how does that make you feel as an individual? Right.
I mean, obviously, I can't give like firsthand experience because, well, I can give it to discrimination, but I can't give it to that instance itself. Uh-huh. But it's like, it just makes you feel less human.
Right. Because it's that fear, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is no peace of mind. There is no, you're somebody who has the right? You're as a person who lives in this nation, you should have the right. You should feel free to travel, to go hiking, camping, whatever it is you want to do in any state.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have that, right? You have that fear. You have to watch where you go. What about y'all?
But when do you, that's the question I was going to ask you, was like,
do you ever think that, I mean, I know after this whole Trump thing is done, like, do you ever think that it'll be over? Like, nah, I don't think it will. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that the only thing that we can do is literally start our own businesses and invest into the communities that we're a part of. Like you said you were trying to create your own youth center, you know what I mean, and teach kids that from like a young age, and then it just continues. And that's the same thing that I'm trying to do, is literally like make dope content that inspires people to do what you're trying to do, like build those community centers. Like, I don't think people really realize like how important like education is, like school, middle school, college, like all those things are they teach you just fundamental lessons in society and in life. Like, they teach you almost like, say in school, right? You get tests, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And these tests, what they do is they put you through a period of time where it could be stress, it could be mental clarity. Like, they teach you to memorize. Like, even though kids probably they just want to memorize stuff to actually just, you know, just
get through the test,
but it teaches you to work hard. Mm-hmm. You're determined. It proves that you can finish something, you know what I mean? And that's what we need to learn throughout life, is just like, not everything is ever going to come to us easy.
Right.
Well, like what you said about like, will it ever end after Trump? To be honest, it was already there, and you know that. And the only thing that this has done, only thing that he's done,
it's just spread light on it.
Yeah, just show like that's what it
is. We're still here.
And then just to like, since I didn't really get to touch base on it, mm-hmm. I'm about to breeze through some stuff. Colin Kaepernick at the early conversation,
mm-hmm.
talking about voicing his opinion, and it's not respected. It's not anything. It's just crazy to me how you see, even with like LeVar Ball too. You see somebody who's so eccentric about something, and then they get beat down for it. It's key words that they use for everything. LeVar Ball is crazy. LeVar Ball is a loudmouth. All this stuff. And then Colin Kaepernick, they call him an idiot. They call him all this stuff. But all they're doing is being eccentric for what they are passionate for.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing that Phil Knight was doing. He was passionate about what he was doing, but he's a great man, he's a smart man, he's a businessman. Everyone else, like LeVar Ball, is just naive.
Right.
And that's the crazy part about it, is like, I'm reading Phil Knight's memoir, his book right now, and I think that there's a difference, because obviously like race is a big thing, and media is a big thing. Like, mm-hmm. Phil Knight, I'm reading his book now, and people did, like, he wasn't, like, out there, you know what I mean? Like, he was bald and now he, you know, but it's just a different day and different age and time. And now that LeVar Ball, like, Phil Knight, if a black person tried to come up and start their own business like Phil Knight did back then, we wouldn't even hear about it.
Right.
But now that we have the media and the outlet and the platform for LeVar Ball to do that, all he is like, he's a modern day Phil Knight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how did Knight he get started? You know, like,
everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah, it's just a straight, it's a strict hustle. You know, you get one shoe, everybody likes a shoe, you continue growing, and then you change it up, you develop, you get a bigger brand, like, the brand grows and develops with the individuals, you get players. LeVar Ball might sign somebody to Big Baller Brand, and it just takes off, you know what I mean? It might be more than his three sons, mm-hmm. you know? And that's exactly how these sports brands are started. But no, like, he's an idiot, he's this, he's that. And mm-hmm. it's just crazy, man.
You know, historically, if you look at a society, right? Every time a society was destroyed, or not even society, but a group of people, it always began, and this is actual, like, political tactic.
Oh, wait, are you going to bring up that it was like Black Wall Street?
You could, even Black Wall Street, right?
Right.
It begins with just a label. You throw a label on an individual or a group of people, and you dehumanize them, right? Mm-hmm. And then it makes it easier to destroy their image, to destroy who they are, or, you know, to assassinate their character, basically. Think about the idea of, let's say, Arabians. That's the closest one to me. That's, I think, for me, because it's very recent. Mm-hmm. What is the phrase that you guys think of when that comes in any news, right? When it comes to any Arabians, what does it have to do with?
Like a ban. I feel they're like
terrorism, right?
Terrorism. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the label now. And if you think about 9/11 and post that, before that, we wanted to go into Iraq, and as soon as that happened, 9/11 happened, boom, they hit them with that terrorist label, and we were in Iraq. Mm-hmm. If you look at African Americans, they with the N-word, right? I can't say it because of the rules with radio or whatever. I got to be politically correct, but normally I wouldn't be. But at the end of the day, you had the Red Scare back in the day, the communism. They hit them with that, right? So if any time you look at a people's history, and you want to see how they get destroyed or how they collapse, it always begins with a label. And that's why I say language is important. Mm-hmm. It's important to think about what you put out there and how you say stuff or how you word things, because you never know. You never know what you're starting or what you might destroy, right? When you look at our current political times right now, you have Trump, you know, in office, tweeting whatever he wants, saying things that dehumanize people from across the border, from Mexico. We are in the same piece of land, right? We are all on the same piece of land. It's just a picture, aerial footage taken, and there's a line drawn that says, this is Mexico, this is the U.S. But does that mean they're less human than we are? No. Does that mean we're more qualified to live than them? No. Right? But
well, you also got to look at, like, who he's just, like, befriending, who he's really, like, taking, like, ideas from. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the Chinese president right now. Mm-hmm. I was just reading about this today, and he's saying, oh, we're great friends, we're all this. And you see what's happening there is what he wants it to be here, mm-hmm. basically. Anything bad said about him, he just defers it. Nothing.
Doesn't take ownership of it. Yeah.
And that's the same thing that happens in those countries, except for he doesn't have the ability to do that here yet because people can still speak up.
Right.
But that's where he's aiming towards, and that's where you can kind of see what he's going for. Same thing with Russia. He's trying to protect Russia, trying to protect all these things, all these people, mm-hmm. all these leaders that are these principles that he's
he believes
yelling out.
Right.
It's not like he's like kind of like being quiet about it. Like mm-hmm. he's yelling it out. Like, this is what I believe. This is what I want it to be. You're wrong. I'm right.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's like this blatant hate, you know, like using hate speech against women, against, you mm-hmm. know, whether it's Mexicans or just people from different ethnic backgrounds, Muslims. You know, at the end of the day, man, like, before, or not even before, like, honestly, it's so hard to live in a world where you're reminded of the division, right? People constantly focus on what makes us different rather than the similarities we all have, right? Because it's beautiful to have multiple cultures. Who wouldn't want that? Mm-hmm. Right? The more cultures you have, the more knowledge, the more
knowledge you have.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't make sense to have this fear of other people, because at the end of the day, we're all human, right? Mm-hmm. We all value certain things in life. We all eat, breathe, and drink water, and you know what I'm saying? We all function the same way. It just doesn't make sense to me that you look down upon a race, or you know, believe that you're better than a race simply because who you are.
Some to me, ever since I was little, it's like y'all know my beliefs. I don't want to say I'm one here, like I want to start into that, but like I believe it was all put here in like a couple hundred years ago, however long, we was able to go anywhere that we wanted. We wasn't told you can't go here or here. So I feel now that's kind of backwards. And
so the idea of borders,
yeah, is what and that kind of hits me right now, be like, not right now, but like always, because my father can't come here.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, no matter what, he cannot come to the U.S. And so it's like, you're telling him that he can't come here, other people that they can't come, or they have to spend thousands of dollars or go through the big process. And it's like, mm-hmm. we was all put here for a reason, and we wasn't told where we can and can't go.
Right.
So I'm like, why we got to do that now? And so it's all just kind of, you know, I don't really mess with it. I don't really like it.
Right, it sucks, because that's your father, man, and you can't see him because of some laws.
Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy, because I've never met him, so I feel, I hope I get to meet him one day, but I mean, it's kind of backwards to have that we can't go a certain place.
To see, right, somebody yeah. you love, somebody who's given birth to you, like somebody yeah. who's, you know, the reason you exist. Which, shout out to Nick's dad.
Nah,
we appreciate having you here.
I don't want to say that, but... shout out to my mom over that, bro, and my grandparents, but
that too.
Yeah, man. Oh, I gotta shout out Nelson, bro. Today's Nelson's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Nelson. Happy
birthday to Nelson,
yeah,
bro.
That's Nick's second father. Oh.
That's yeah. he's someone that kinda just took me in, like it was a joke, like, hey, you're my dad, and he was like, oh, for real? I was like, yeah, like my last name's Gonzalez, and he like really started to freak out. Because Kiki told me to say that to him. And
they look alike, y'all.
And bro, it's crazy. we just, I mean, we clicked, and like, he'll have me come over, he'll call me his son. And
even Delphine knows, she in the yeah. room shaking their head, yes.
Everybody's like, whenever we go somewhere, and they're like, oh, that's your dad? Like, yeah. And he's like, that's your son? We'll just say, yeah. And so we don't tell him, like, the whole story. We'll just say, like, that's my son, that's my dad. And so that's someone I got to say happy birthday to him, man.
Happy birthday, Nelson. A great man right there.
Father to many. When I'm off.
Yeah, but so, you know, I think we're coming up on time to where we got to wrap up. So I'm going to just ask each one of you to give me, you know, to just give, I always love to end it with giving the youth a message, something that you'd like to leave kids who are listening. What would it be? You want to start us, Nick? We'll just go around.
I want to say, like, so basically when I got my car, bro, I knew that I wanted to make it something, but I didn't have the money for that. So I've built with what I've got. I've built it to what I want to be. So whatever you got, don't just think that you got, you know, the dirt. You got something that's not what you like. You can build it, and so always be happy with what you got, and build it to what you want it to be.
I would say, once you find a passion, no matter the label on that passion, it does not matter. You always got to go for it, because people can talk down on your passion. People can say, oh, no, you're just a hype beast. You just want to follow this, or you just want to do this, or whatever they're going to say to you. But either way, it's what you're passionate about. And no matter what anybody says, go for it.
Education and creativity are the keys to success and happiness.
I would say that it's never too late to change your passion and change your direction in life. I've been through it this last 13 months, and I say hardship makes you respect everything you've gone through, and it makes you passionate, and it makes you drive and strive for being better. I say go through those hard times and just know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
I guess what I'm going to leave you with today is find somebody you can inspire. You know, reach one, teach one. This has been Keeping It Real. We had amazing conversations. I'd like to say thank you to everybody for coming out.
Shout out to KB for making it happen.
Shout out to Delphine for getting our back all the time as well. This is Aron.
And Nick Deasy.
And Jacob Bass.
And Seven.
This is Marissa.
This has been Keeping It Real. See y'all next month.
But the people with my feet on tight follow with a head nod up, cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked up. North of Martin Luther King, a straight war zone, detours through the concrete, cranes and bulldozers. No, the hill is not over still. Every block got a coffee shop, it's overkill. Focus, no big deal, dope to see Khalil back. The medicine is good again, the feeling of leaving and coming back to your hood again is priceless. I write this, our lives are in crisis. Most talk but don't walk the path of the righteous. Despite this, I measure each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest filled the lungs, kills the pain in my chest. Clutch the moment, a transfer in my hand, still listening. Looking out the window to the gold and the green. And the sun might be shining, but it's colder than it seems, cause the weather's dialectical, there's no in between.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
Hi, I'm Ed Melnick. In solidarity with San Francisco's 50-year anniversary of the Summer of Love, I'm inviting you to join me for a 2-hour special Monday sampler on August 7th.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on Trampoline.
From the 1967 music scene, music from artists like Janis Joplin, the Jefferson Airplane, the Beatles, and many others will be featured. Join me for 2 hours to tune in, turn on, and drop out. That's Monday, August 7th, 2 to 4 p.m.